Chapter 5, take our text from Matthew 5, verses 21 to 26. This evening we're going to learn about the danger of anger. Matthew 5, 21 through 26, as we continue our study through the Gospels, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is setting many things straight. So let's stand together to honor the Word of God tonight. Matthew 5, verse 21. And I am so glad you're here tonight. And I pray that the Lord will open our hearts to His Word and change us by His Word. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to understand it tonight. Help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to. And Lord, help us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives. Help us to realize how dangerous anger can be. Help us to have a right heart and a right spirit. And Lord, please bless tonight that your will would be done in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Steve Tram is a man in a town called Westminster in California. And Steve had a problem with cockroaches in his house. And he had tried just about everything, and everything he tried, the cockroaches came back again. Finally, a friend of his had told him about these really cool things. We call them bug bombs. They're foggers. You guys know what I'm talking about? Set them up around the house and you put them off. Well, he was so sick and tired of the cockroaches that he put 25 canisters around his house. Based on the footage of his house and the instructions on the box, 2 would have been enough. But Steve used 25. He set off the 25 bug bombs and closed up the house like it says on the instructions, except he forgot to extinguish the pilot light on his stove. Steve's house exploded, sent his front door across the yard and across the street to the neighbor's yard and blew out all of his windows. In his effort to kill the cockroaches, Steve caused $10,000 worth of damage to his house. A week later, the cockroaches were back. You see, anger's a dangerous thing, and it really never turns out right. A lot of very smart people have had a lot to say about anger. Benjamin Franklin said, "A slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over." Amen. He also said, "What is begun in anger ends in shame." Amen. Anger's a dangerous thing. Albert Einstein chimed in with thoughts on anger. He said, "Anger dwells only in the bosom of fools." That almost sounds biblical for Einstein. "Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." We are people who are driven by our passions, and many times we have anger in our hearts and our minds, and it comes out through our mouths, and it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And Jesus is going to teach us about this anger tonight. In the spring of 1894, a fire broke out in the city of Boston. 107 buildings were destroyed in that fire. And I'll tell you in a little while what started it. But I just want you to know that anger is like a fire. It burns, it destroys, and it spreads. And so we want to guard against anger in our lives. Learn about that tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you notice that we need to stop the progression of a murderous heart? Jesus said in verse 21, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now the traditions of the scribes and Pharisees brought them to a place where they basically had the attitude that as long as you don't actually murder somebody, you're good. You're good. Now I believe when Jesus says, "You've heard it said of old time," we understand that there is a commandment, thou shalt not kill, but you also understand that many of the Jews of that day put more stock into what the rabbis wrote, their modern day, in their day, their commentaries. They put more stock in the rabbis' commentaries than they did in the scriptures themselves. Now you'll notice in the law, the penalty for murder was that you would be put to death. By, if you shed a man's blood, by man shall your blood be shed. That was the law. He says, here you've heard it said of them of old time, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. In other words, the commentaries today said if somebody kills somebody else, we need to bring them before the judgment. We need to have a court. We need to see what's going on. We'll decide what their fate is. But if you kill somebody, there could be trouble from that. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now, here it is. You've heard what's said, but now Jesus is going to raise the standard. Because Jesus is always concerned, not just with our outward actions, Jesus is always concerned with our heart. I will never forget in a Sunday school lesson years ago, one of the best things I ever read in one of our Sunday school lessons, it said, at the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. Amen. At the heart of every problem is a problem. Listen, if somebody murders somebody, the problem didn't start that moment. The problem started a long time ago in their heart. And so we have this progression that's going on. But Jesus says, listen, you've heard if you kill somebody, you're in trouble. But I want to tell you that it's even worse than that. I want to tell you that my standard's even higher. I want to get to the heart of the problem. And by the way, having anger problem is really and truly a heart problem. It was interesting. I read there were some doctors from Coral Gables in Florida, and they wanted to compare the pumping efficiency of hearts. And so they put together a clinical trial. They had 18 men who had coronary artery disease, and they had 9 men who had no heart problems whatsoever. And they did different things, physical stress. They had them ride a stationary bicycle, and then they took images of their heart to see how it was pumping. And they did different things to stress them. They had them do math problems in their head, and they had them recall an incident that had made them very angry. They gave them a short speech to defend themselves against a hypothetical charge of shoplifting. And they did a lot of different things to get their stress level up. And it was interesting that for all of the subjects, anger reduced the efficiency of their heart more than anything else. When they made them angry, it messed their heart up more than anything else did. And it just goes to prove to you that, listen, anger literally affects your heart, the organ pumping inside your chest right now, but anger affects the heart of you, your spirit, and your inner man. Amen. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Now, we understand that God is angry at times, and there's nothing wrong with God's anger. Psalm 7:11 says, "God judgeth the righteous," and God is angry with the wicked every day. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, we studied this just a few weeks ago, and when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. I hear people, anytime a message or a lesson is taught or brought on anger, so many people say, well, what about righteous indignation? You know, Jesus got mad and threw the money changers out of the temple. And my answer every time is, you're not Jesus. We get angry all the time. We want to excuse and say, well, it's righteous indignation. I have good reason to be angry. Perhaps you do at times, but and we understand that. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, are there times that we could be angry and not sin? Yes. But let's not use righteous indignation, as it were, as an excuse to be angry all the time. Sometimes you're angry and you sin. most of the time when I am angry and show that anger, it's not righteous. It's the opposite of righteous. And so we want to be careful. Jesus says, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. When you get angry without reason, when you have this attitude or this emotion, this contempt, this ill will in your heart towards somebody else without just cause, there's a problem. Now, see, I hesitate to even give you the good positive side of anger because I don't want anybody to use it as an excuse. If you don't have anger against the sin that's in this world, there's something wrong with your heart. There's some things we ought to be angry about. There's some things that have happened in the news just recently you ought to be angry about. There's stuff that goes on in our world we ought to be angry about. When people take advantage of and harm children, it ought to make you angry. Amen. When our society turns against God and blatantly defies His word, it ought to make us angry. I understand that, but let's be realistic. Most of the time when we're angry, it has nothing to do with right things. Most of the time when I'm angry, it's something really, really, really stupid. Now, at the moment, it's not stupid. At the moment, it's the most important thing in the world. But we need to get this. When we are angry, we better have a good reason for it, or we're in danger of the judgment. Now, historians tell us that this word, the judgment, was the tribunal council that would try cases of murder and different things. There was a court that sat in each city or town, and it consisted usually of 7 members that were leaders in that city or that town or that village, and they were 7 leaders in that town that would get together. They would hold court, and they would sit and hear cases. And so what he's saying is, listen, I'm just trying to tell you, you don't just have to murder somebody. You don't have to physically take somebody's life to be in danger of judgment. If you just are angry without good reason, you're in danger. Better watch out, because if you just have anger in your heart, you could be in trouble. And then he says, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekah, shall be in danger of the council. Now, we see this word Rekah. It's a Syriac word. It expresses of great contempt. And it means, it has the idea of being empty, vain, and it's a word of contempt. It's senseless. And basically, it has the idea of thinking or expressing that you are really, 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 really hate somebody and they're really, 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 really stupid. I don't know if this hits home with anybody. But essentially, if you say that somebody's an idiot because you're angry with them, that's what this is talking about. I just let that sink in for a while, because usually when I'm angry, I think everybody else is stupid. Perhaps this hits home with you when you are driving. Do you ever wonder how anybody else on the road got their driver's license? Sometimes I wonder that. And sometimes I express my anger with them verbally as though it does any good, since I'm in my car and they're in their car. He says, if you do this, you're in danger of the council. Now, this word council is the word Sanhedrin. This is a step up. He says, if you got anger in your heart towards somebody without cause, you're in danger of this small council in the town. But this small council, the judgment, if you were tried there and found guilty there, you had the right to appeal to a higher court, which was the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was made up of 72 members, the elders, the high-ranking officials, and it was led by the chief priest of the day. And these were the guys that were the high court, kind of like the Supreme Court. For the Jews of the day, this was it. You get convicted down here, you can appeal here, but what they say is final. And before the Romans came into power, the Sanhedrin had the right to find you guilty and to execute you. Even during Roman rule, they could find somebody guilty, but they couldn't carry out the execution without the permission of the Roman government. That's why when they brought Jesus before the Sanhedrin council and they wanted to kill him, they had to go to Pilate to get permission to kill him. What Jesus is saying here is, you listen, you're angry with somebody without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. But if you let that anger continue in your heart to the point that you say to somebody, Rekah, moron, idiot, stupid, you have this anger and you're speaking to them with contempt and ill will, then you are in danger of the council. Matthew 12, verses 34 to 37, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I want you to listen. There have been so many times in a heated discussion or an argument or a fight, whatever you want to call it. You know, we like to call it, we're just having a discussion. In the middle of those things, I can't tell you how many times I've said something and immediately regretted it. And then I said, I didn't really mean that. You ever said that? I've had people say things to me in anger, and immediately they feel bad about it, and they say, I didn't really mean that. You know what my response is? Well, yeah, you did, or you wouldn't have said it. Usually in about that tone of voice, too. I'm not proud of that. That's just, I'm trying to be real. Listen, when those things come out, maybe we really deep down in our heart, we don't mean it, but it wouldn't come out of our mouth if there wasn't something in our heart. Maybe you didn't really, really mean it. Maybe that's not really how you feel, but there's something down inside our heart. There's something wrong there, or it never would come out of our mouth. If there wasn't something wrong in our heart, it wouldn't have been in our mind in the first place. And we've got to realize the danger that we have with what we feel in our heart, this anger. But this anger, if you allow it to continue, it's going to come out in your mouth. It's going to come out in your speech. And our mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then he says, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now there's a progression here. Jesus is raising the standard. Now he says, listen, it's not just that you actually murder somebody. It's not that you got an axe and cut somebody's head off. That's not it. It's different. It starts with what's going on in your heart. You got anger in your heart. You're in danger. And if you don't check that anger, you're going to say something you shouldn't say. And if you don't check your anger, it's going to get even worse, because you're not just going to say, Rekah, you're going to say, thou fool. Now what we've done now, we've gone from just saying something wrong to somebody, but this has something else behind it. This thou fool is not just you're a moron, it's you're a moron and I hope you die. This word has the idea of wishing ill for somebody else, thinking that they deserve some kind of punishment just for existing. This is a hatred. This is a spiteful thing. It's a spiteful word, and it's born out of hatred in our heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. That's what God says. And what we're saying, if we call somebody a fool, we're saying, you're a fool. You're a moron. You deserve to die and go to hell. That's basically what somebody's saying at this point. Now, I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life you've hated somebody that much. It's a common phrase in our society today. And somebody's arguing, and somebody's fighting. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Sometimes you just hear stuff at the store you don't want to hear. Have you ever heard somebody tell another person, go to hell? Maybe you've heard it said to you. Maybe you've said it to somebody else. I'm telling you that this is an expression of hatred. And when we have this kind of hatred in our heart towards somebody else, we don't have the love of Christ in our heart. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. What did Jesus say? If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you have that kind of hatred in your heart, you don't have the love of Christ in your heart. Anger. Anger is a dangerous thing. In the 18th century, there was a physician named John Hunter. He was an early pioneer in the field of surgery, and he was actually a surgeon to King George III. And he had a problem. He had a heart problem. And he knew that when he got angry, it brought on these heart attacks. And he said, "My life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion." In other words, whoever gets me mad will be the one that ends up killing me. How true his words were, because one day at the hospital he got an argument with the board. He got really, really angry and fighting with them. He went into the next room and he died. Now, did they kill him? Was it the scoundrel that excited his passion? Is that what killed him? No, he didn't control his anger. You see, we learned in our class just a little while ago that one of the fruits of the Spirit is something called temperance. It's called self-control. Now, I don't know if anybody else in the room struggles with their anger or their temper, but that's something that I have. I struggle with. And I'm here to tell you that when we're walking in the flesh, our anger is going to get the best of us. But when we walk in the Spirit, we have something called temperance, self-control, and we can control that anger through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What's the trouble? Whosoever shall say, "Thou fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. Jesus is saying, if you have this kind of hatred in your heart, you don't have my love in your heart, and you're in danger of ending up in the place called Gehenna. Now, Gehenna is the Valley of Hinnom. It was a place early on where people got into idol worship. And in the Valley of Hinnom, they worshiped the god called Moloch. Moloch was a god that they sacrificed their children to. And I'm told that they built a statue of Moloch to represent him. It had a man's body and a cow's head, and his arms were brazen and outstretched arms, and they would build a fire actually inside of this altar and heat him up. And they would take their children and they would lay them on those brazen arms, and they would literally cook those children to death on that altar. After the captivity, when the Israelites came back because of that place, and because at that time when they came back from the captivity, they were right with God, they hated that place. They hated what happened there. They hated it to the point that that was the place where they put all their trash. That's the place where they put all the dead animals. That's the place where people who were criminals and weren't given a proper burial, they just put their bodies out there, and it was a horrible place. I'm talking about a putrefying place. Listen, if you've ever walked by or driven by a dead animal on the side of the road in July, have you ever done that? It'll turn your stomach. Just imagine a whole valley full of that. And so they lit the fires, and they kept the fires burning there all the time. It's full of death. It's full of corruption, putrefaction, vileness. Fire, smoke, the smell of burning flesh. Is it making you sick yet? I hope so, because I don't want to keep going. Jesus said, if you have this kind of hatred in your heart, you're in danger of that place. He used Gehenna, he used the Valley of Hinnom as a picture of hell. He said, you got this kind of hatred in your heart, you're in danger of going to that place. We find from other scripture that if you've got that kind of hatred in your heart, you can't have the love of Christ in your heart. Stop the progression of a murderous heart. Listen, if you get angry with somebody, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does that mean? I heard it and I read it a lot in marriage counseling books. Don't go to bed angry. That verse, that's a good practice, but that doesn't have anything to do about going to bed. It says, don't let the sun go down. Don't let this day end and a new day begin before you get thoroughly right with God. thoroughly right with whoever you're angry about. You need to forgive them. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, you don't deserve forgiveness either. Listen, here's the reality, friend. When we've been forgiven of our sin and given the gift of eternal life, there's nothing that anybody could ever do to us that we can't forgive. You say, well, you don't know. God's blessed. I've never had somebody do horrible and terrible things to me, but I have seen in testimony after testimony people who have had terrible things done to them and their family, and by the grace of God, they forgave. How can they do that? Because of the grace of God. Listen, somebody may have done you wrong. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you feel like you're justified, but I'm telling you, there's a dangerous progression in this anger, and you better watch. Better guard against that anger. Very quickly, notice he also talks about seeking reconciliation of a brother at odds. In verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You see, the Pharisees and the Jews had this idea that it's all about the outward stuff. It's all about the sacrifices. It's all about the ceremony. It's all about the stuff that we do. And Jesus is always trying to teach his disciples and anybody to listen. It's not about these outward shows. It's about your heart. You can come to the altar. You can offer your gifts. You can go by the offertory and put in all the money you want to. But if you're in your heart, you have anger and hatred towards another brother, God's not going to accept that. Your offering is no longer pleasing to God. Now it's an insult to God. He says you need to go and get that right. You're coming down to the altar and you realize, man, I'm so mad at Joe. I can't believe he did me like that. Well, you need to just go ahead and lay your offering aside. You need to go find Joe and you need to make it right. You say, I can't believe you did me like that. I'm really upset, but I want you to know because of Christ in my heart, I love you, and I'm doing my best to forgive you, and you do your best to make things right. Then you can come back and make your offering. But you got to do that. Why? Because to obey is better than sacrifice. Leave your gift there. Go be reconciled to your brother, and then come. I've heard so many stories that are just terrifying to me because... I remember one, there was a revival going on and there was just kind of a spirit of oppression on the church and things were going really good, but it just seemed like they were hitting a barrier, hitting a wall. And in the middle of the invitation one night, one of the brothers on this side of the church got up and he called over to a brother on the other side of the church and he said, you know, we've been fighting a long time and I just want you to know I'm so sorry and I love you and I want to forgive you. And they met in the middle of the church and they got right with each other. They had been fighting for over 30 years. And it had been spiritually oppressing the church and things have been going on. I'll tell you, it's terrifying to me as your pastor. I've been here for just about 2 years. There may be stuff going on in this church that's been going on for a long time that I don't know anything about. You might be angry with somebody, upset with somebody, and you haven't made it right. You haven't reconciled. And I want to tell you something, friend. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt the church. Amen. We need to have forgiveness in our hearts. We need to reconcile. So many times people are upset about something. They don't want to go to somebody and let them know they have been offended. You know why you don't want to go to your brother and tell him that you're offended? Because of your pride. Maybe Brother Ryan says something to me one day, and he doesn't really mean it, probably didn't even think about it, but he really hurts my feelings. I'm upset about it. I'm mad about it for a while and really, really angry, but I get over my anger, but I'm still hurt. But I don't want to go tell Ryan because then I'm a wimp. Listen, Brother Ryan, you really hurt my feelings the other day. And that sounds so wimpy. And you know why I wouldn't want to do that? Because I'm too proud. But if he hurt my feelings, if he offended me, the right thing to do is to go tell him. I believe with all my heart. It's probably only a matter of time. He's pretty sarcastic sometimes, so he's probably going to hurt my feelings sooner or later. He's too smart for his own good. Sometimes stuff just comes out. His mouth's quicker than his brain. So it's It's always a chance. It's going to happen. If that happens, you know what? I believe with all my heart I could go to Brother Ryan and say, listen, this is probably stupid, but what you said the other day, it really offended me. You know what Brother Ryan's going to say? He's going to say, you know what? I had no idea. I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry I offended you. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And we could hug it out. It'd be a bro hug. Bro hug, that's a handshake in between, in case you didn't know. We'd hug it out and we'd be all right and things would be better. Because, you know, he's cruising along and he has no idea. And all the time I got this deep down in my heart, I'm still offended. I'm still hurt. I'm still bothered. But I can't serve the Lord if I've still got this thing. I can't do what God wants me to do because I still got this thing. And so if you've been holding on to something like that for a week or a month or 30 years, you need to go to somebody. You need to just be honest, say, you know what? I really shouldn't be upset about this, but I am. It really bothers me, and I can't stop thinking about it. And I had to tell you that it offended me. And reconcile. Then he says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. And this idea of in the way, it has the idea of going to praetorium. It has the idea of on your way to the judgment house, on your way to court. He says, if you've got this thing, you've got a problem with somebody, and you're going to have to go to court about it, you need to get it right with them and don't ever have to go to court. Amen. In other words, you need to settle out of court with your brother. Amen? Amen. Whoever's thinking about suing me, you don't go down there and see no lawyer. You just come to me and we'll work it out, okay? Put it on a payment plan or something. We'll work it out. You see, with a brother, you got no business. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, he says, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you rather not suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. See, at the church of Corinth, people were suing each other. They were having problems, having fights, and they just, hey, you know what, I'll just see you in court. And they go before the pagan judges to settle their problems in the church. How stupid is that? He says, listen, you had a problem with somebody in church, you'd be better off to just let them take advantage of you. Be defrauded. It's better to let your brother do you wrong than it is to go to court in front of the world. It's better to let somebody do you wrong in the church than to go gripe to your friends at work about it. Amen. It's better that you would suffer and have a little wrong done to you than to bring down the name of Christ and his church in front of this world. Matthew 5, 39 to 41, we'll study this in a few weeks, but he says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whomsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Listen, when we're talking about dealing with people in our church, we need to be willing to take a little. You know, they really shouldn't have done me that way. Okay. Romans 12, 17 to 21 recommends to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus says, kill him with kindness. Not literally kill him. That's the opposite of the message tonight. You see, Jesus has called us to something completely different than the world. Don't murder. Everybody knows that. Don't be angry with somebody. Amen. Don't call them an idiot or a moron. Love your enemies. He calls us to something entirely different. I want you to know that your anger can cause way more trouble than you could ever imagine. That fire I told you about in the spring of 1894, it started with a fist fight in a baseball game. Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play a game. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. And you know how it is at a baseball game. When there's one fight, the bench clears. Amen. No, not amen. Not amen. He got into a fist fight. The bench is cleared. But they didn't get control of the fight. Pretty soon, the stands had cleared. There's this massive brawl going on in the middle of the field, fighting because of just one fight between two guys. He got angry, and instead of controlling his anger, he lashed out and hit a guy. Pretty soon, the riot got out of control, and somebody decided to set the baseball stadium on fire. The whole stadium burned to the ground, and as if that wasn't bad enough, the fire spread, and 107 buildings around the stadium were burned to the ground. Why? Because one guy got angry and didn't control his anger. We're going to get angry. We all do. But it's how we respond with that anger that makes a difference. You've got to have that temperance, that self-control, and you can't do that on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So I never murdered anybody. We look at murders with great judgment. But before we go too harshly judging others, we ought to look right in here, see if we have anger that's turned into hatred towards somebody else. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. While our musicians come, would you stand with me, please?